UABF, it is 8:23 and 65 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio. Good morning, Mayor, and Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Lori. Merry Christmas to you.
You look pretty in your Christmas red today. It's that time of year for sure. The town looks beautiful. The flowers are just amazing.
Aren't they pretty? The poinsettias are really pretty.
The poinsettias and the little, what looks like little miniature Christmas trees.
Yes, it looks really pretty. They've outdone themselves this year.
Very nice. And I love the lights at the entrance to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Fairhope.
The with big lights.
The big giant light bulbs, Christmas tree lights. Those are cute. So before we get to the council meeting last night, let's talk about the Planning Commission meeting that was Monday night and what the state law SB 107 has done to affect the planning jurisdiction of cities outside of their corporate limits. You're actually having to look at giving up complete control of subdivisions and building permits, anything that will be developed outside of the city limits.
That's right. I guess in July of 21, when that law went into effect, we lost the ability to control like the wetlands ordinance, noise ordinance, kind of those nuisance ordinance outside our city limits, sign ordinance, those kind of things. So all that pulled into the corporate limits. We knew in July of 2023 when this went into effect that we would lose the ability to permit and to do planning outside of our corporate limits unless we could come to an agreement with the county. We have worked in those 2 years to try to come to an agreement, and we have differing opinions of how the law is interpreted. They claim they can't come to an agreement with us until July of 23. Whether they'll come to an agreement with us or not, they won't commit to that. So we decided to go ahead 6 months prior to that or 7 months prior to that and go ahead and pull back our planning and permitting jurisdiction to the corporate limits. What that means is that we will not regulate, we will not do any building permits outside of our corporate limits, we won't do inspections outside of our corporate limits, we will not do any planning in what we now call the ETJ, or extraterritorial jurisdiction. Everything we do will be regulated within our corporate limits by planning and permitting.
No. Thank you for explaining that so succinctly. It makes a lot of sense as to what we've been dealing with. But now, at the Planning Commission meeting, the resolution says, whereas Baldwin County has provided notice to the city of Fairhope of its intent to assume responsibility for the regulations of subdivisions. Mm-hmm. And then Jack Burrell mentioned to me yesterday that you have been attempting to negotiate with the county to work something out, and they're not.
That's correct. We have been we've had multiple conversations and have asked them to go ahead and come to an agreement with us. What we wanted to do was have all of our jurisdictions mirror each other. Planning, permitting, and police would be all pulled back to a mile and a half, so we would regulate anything a mile and a half outside of our corporate limits, and then basically we would grow into that territory. You know, because right now you grow by annexation, and then when people annex, you would, you know, go an additional 1.5 to 3 miles outside of that annexed area.
And right now we have a 3 mile jurisdiction.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So what we were saying was just give us that mile and a half outside and we'll just grow into that. We would not grow with annexations. That would give us a chance to know what our boundaries are, clearly communicate to other folks, developers or whoever, what our boundaries are.
Wait, and give us the city limits out to there, or give us our jurisdiction?
It would give us our jurisdiction. Okay. But then we would basically grow into that. So we would basically go out and, you know, encourage people to annex in so we could fill in all that territory, because we have a lot of islands. For instance, the area where the airport's in the city limits, but there's quite a bit of property in between what, you know, the city limits and the airport. So even though the airport's in the city limits, so it kind of creates that island effect for the airport. So we want to fill in all those areas. You know, in the past 2 years, we've had the ability to go and actively annex or solicit people to annex. We haven't done that, thinking that we were going to be able to come to an agreement with the county. But we have not been able to. I did call Senator Elliott at one point and ask him, you know, well, what was your intent with the law? And we had some conversations with Senator Elliott before this bill went into effect. But, you know, every municipality around the state is very different because this was a statewide bill. I think Baldwin County, I guess we all like to think we're unique. But Baldwin County is unique because of the fast-growing area we live in and just how much those areas outside of your city limits really impact your city, because those people still believe they're part of Fairhope.
Right.
You know, they still go to our schools. They participate in our recreational programs. You know, they feel like they're part of Fairhope. They tell people they're from Fairhope. And so, you know, to us, it's more about a sense of community and creating the community that we want to see into the future versus just going in and saying, you know, we're not, the people a mile outside of our city don't matter anymore, or the businesses don't matter anymore. That's not the message that we wanted to send, and we feel like that's what this bill does.
So who have you been negotiating with, and what's been the standoff? Why no agreement?
We've had multiple conversations with, I mean, county commissioners, the planning staff. You know, our staffs have been working together, trying to come to resolution. Attorneys have been working together, their attorney, our attorney, and they just feel like, and this is what Senator Elliott told me, he said, my intent with this law was if the county has a planning and permitting department, then the county should plan and permit in the areas that they're responsible for, and that the city should do only their corporate limits. So that was the intent. That's kind of the stance they have taken. And so we decided to go ahead and pull back our planning and permitting jurisdiction. We have stated in the letter that we sent to the county that we would like to, in October of 23, we've already put them on notice that we plan to pull back our police jurisdiction to a mile and a half. So we'll only police a mile and a half outside of our corporate limits, and that if there is the possibility to come to some sort of agreement, because they believe that they can't come to an agreement with us the way the law is worded until July of 23. We don't believe that. We think that we could go ahead and come to an agreement. That if that there's the ability to come to an agreement, that we would still like that opportunity. So we'll see what happens in the next 6 months.
And I'm confused about, they feel like they can't come to an agreement until July, when this resolution strictly says Baldwin County has provided notice to the city of Fairhope of its intent.
That's right.
To assume responsibility. So it sounds like they don't want to come to an agreement, but they don't have to make that decision until July.
Correct. That's how we interpret it. So okay, that's why we're going ahead and pulling back.
Why now? Why not wait till July? Can't we use the impact fees and the revenues and whatever else?
I mean, you could, but why would you continue to do that when we know that it's going away in 6 months? I mean, that's staff time. That's, you know, and those are the most challenging areas that we have in Fairhope, are the areas outside of our city limits, as fast as we're growing in those areas. So from a staffing standpoint and everything else, it just makes sense for us to go ahead and pull back.
Is there some major controversial development on the plans that might be easier to avoid by stepping out now?
Not that we're aware of, but to be honest, Lori, a lot of the you know, a lot of the things that are, I would say, are already bigger developments, like both Publix that are going in. Mm-hmm. There's Harvest Green that's already in the city limits. There's another development going in. It's called Rockwell Place that's already, you know, already come to the city for their permitting. And anything that we're currently working on, according to our, you know, the conversations we've had with the county, that we'll continue to, you know, work on those projects. So I don't think we're not aware of anything large on the horizon that, you know, would be impactful or anything that we're trying to avoid, if that's okay. What your question is.
Okay. Last night, did the ordinance discontinuing the issuance of building permits outside of the corporate limits, did that pass?
It did pass.
Okay. What did Jack vote?
He voted for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, the two final adoptions to amend zoning for the Clump PUD and the RW Battles property, did those?
They passed,
mm-hmm. Okay. The Clump property is 75 acres on the west side of 181 between Gayfer and Fairhope Avenue.
Right.
Gayfer Village Partners, what is that going to be?
It's that area right there where the airstrip is. On right there on 181.
Okay.
So, yeah, it all passed, and that is, again, a mixed use. So it's commercial, residential, multifamily. I think it's multifamily too.
Okay.
I can look. Yes.
And then the Battles property, B2 General Business, was annexed northwest corner of Greeno and Old Battles Road, 21 acres. Is that right next to Publix? Is that what I'm thinking?
That is Publix and the out parcels, right?
Oh, that is Publix, mm-hmm. Okay.
And the out parcels.
Okay, so it is annexing in.
Right.
Okay. So anything else on SB 107 is just what's got to be done.
It is. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're making the right move. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, Fairhope's always, again, that's been our most challenging areas have been the areas just outside of our corporate limits. So we'll see how it goes. And, again, from a revenue standpoint, we've already really met most of our revenues this year in permitting because of the large projects that we have. And we have a lot of large projects going on right here in our corporate limits. I mean, you figure we've got a lot of development going in on Magnolia. You have the senior living facility right there at Volana. You've got the little strip area there where Chick-fil-A is. So we have, Chicken Salad Chick. I'm going to start
Where is that going to be?
That's right there just by Wolf Funeral Home.
Yes, okay.
Right there.
Okay.
So there's a lot of development already going in. There's that development that's on the books currently for across from the rec center. So a lot of development already in the corporate limits. So we have plenty to keep us busy.
I was going to ask, I'm glad you brought that up, what is the financial impact to the city of not being able to gather? Is it a sales tax and then impact fees from the developments?
Well, if they build outside of the corporate limits, we don't get any impact fees. So we can't collect impact fees outside the corporate limits anyway.
Okay.
It would be building permit fees.
Okay.
And technically, if you collect those permit fees outside of your outside of your corporate limits, you're supposed to spend those in that jurisdiction. So, and granted, we do when it comes to, because you have police that patrol out there.
You provide
recreational programs for the people outside of our corporate limits. So we certainly spend more money than we collect outside of our corporate limits. So, but what it could force us to do, Lori, is look at things like recreational youth sports. There might be an additional fee if you don't live in the corporate limits. We already charge an additional fee for the golf course and for the rec center. But some of those things are things that we'll be looking at in order to, you know, just if people wanted to annex, they could, but to give that differentiation between people who their tax dollars are being generated in the corporate limits, mm-hmm. and we're not generating those outside the corporate limits.
I can remember Senator Elliott talking about how one of his purposes for the SB 107 was taxation without representation. But do you think it was thought out to this point of what it's implying to municipalities and around the state?
Yeah.
Any news on what Daphne and Spanish Fort and other cities are doing? Have you consulted at all with other mayors about how to grapple with this, what to do?
There's been a ton of conversation with the Baldwin County Mayors Association and with other mayors across the county. A lot of them did not exercise a police jurisdiction, or a planning jurisdiction. They only permitted in their corporate limits. So, you know, again, each municipality is going to be unique, mm-hmm. and different. Daphne had a police jurisdiction, but they didn't exercise it. So they had, if you look at a map, it says they had a police jurisdiction, but they just never exercised it. They always had the right to if they wanted to, but they just never did. So, and again, that's what gives you your taxing power. So is that policing. So, again, if they ever want to go back and do that, I don't know that Daphne has come to an agreement with the county as of yet either. Mm-hmm. So there's several areas that have not in Baldwin County.
Okay. And your plan is to pull back from the 3 mile to the 1.5 mile?
If they will come to that, for the police jurisdiction. And if they would come to an agreement with us, then we would like to have all of our jurisdictions mirror each other. But if not, then the police jurisdiction, as of January of 24, with a council vote, that it would go to 1.5 miles.
Okay. Okay, very good. All right, well, let's go further on the last night's meeting. I guess I should ask, tell us about the report of the mayor.
Yes. So last night we were able to recognize Diane Thomas, who has been the chair of our personnel board for 12 years.
Wow.
You know how important those
volunteers. And that's a volunteer job.
It is.
Oh, wow.
And she's been through 5 or 6 HR directors. You know, she has really been there and stuck it out and really helped the employees and the HR staff and everything with all the issues that come up with personnel. So we recognized Diane last night for her years of service, 12 years.
And is she resigning? Is she retiring?
She's retiring.
Okay.
She's just retiring. And then Jeannie Frazier will take over in her spot. And then we also recognize Bob Moll, who has been for about 16 years organizing the Nick Center golfers every Tuesday morning. And Bob is also retiring. So excited to be able to recognize him and his service to the city as well.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we couldn't do it without some of the volunteers.
No, we could not.
Let's hop to resolution number 10. This mm-hmm. would authorize the City of Fairhope Police Department, the Spanish Fork Police Department, and Coastal Alabama Community College Police Department to form a special response team for related services and resources as needed. Tell us about that. And we skipped Daphne. Because, I mean, contiguous, what? Tell us what this is intended to do.
To be honest, I'm not sure why Daphne's not included on there, but it's basically a mutual aid agreement. So it's for a special response team. So, you know, they create, I guess, these special response teams from different peoples from different municipalities. And this is basically, I think it's more like a SWAT team that they can, you just, if you need them, you can call them in. But they're a special unit that, and we work together with the other jurisdictions to have that unit.
Did it was it voted upon last night?
Mm-hmm. And it approved? It was. And this is not something that's new. We do this, you know, I think annually, if not maybe every 3 years or so.
Okay. Well, and I'll have I believe I've got tomorrow
the police chief.
Yes, I have good. Chief Hollinghead in, so I'll ask her a little bit more about that as well. Couple of big numbers mm-hmm. stick out to me. 11, 12, and 13, mm-hmm. which all look to be with, let's start with 11. Mm-hmm. This is a request for a year extension on a letter of agreement with Maynard Cooper and Gale PC for $96,000. What do they do?
Right. So their firm specializes in some different things, but a lot of it is federal legislation and the airport and some other stuff. So we agreed to do a 6-month engagement with them last year. And then we kind of committed to an 18-month, but we did 6 months in the last budget year, and then we did this is that mm-hmm. contract extension. So we really feel like, you know, we meet with them quite often on different topics, again, from the federal government level, state government level, and also at to have to do with the airport. And they've really, you know, offered some great assistance and advice and counsel. So that's what that's for.
Okay. And then 12 and 13 are for more electric department improvements, professional engineering services for power line conversion along Magnolia Avenue between Bancroft and Church, $75,000. What is that, going underground or
that's
what?
Going underground. That's some switch gear, some transformers. But again, that's all putting those utilities underground. You know, we started a long time ago putting utilities underground downtown.
I saw some work on Nichols. Mm-hmm. It's what it appeared they may be doing just yesterday. I wasn't sure what that was.
I don't know if that's fiber or our utility. You're talking on Nichols. That may be our 46.
Nichols around school.
Yeah, that may be our 46 KV line.
That's
the electric distribution line.
Okay.
Yeah, the electric distribution, because they're connecting the substations together.
Mm-hmm.
But this is putting that underground. So, you know, Highline is a new engineering firm we're using. We have always used an engineering firm for a long time to do projects here in town, and we really want to kind of diversify our engineering groups. So Highline will be new to working in Fairhope. They do work in other areas of Baldwin County, but excited to be able to work with them on this project.
And then number 13... is for a new shed for an electric department steel structure, $102,000.
Right. This is a quite a large shed, as you can see.
50 by 100, yeah.
Right. So this number, too, the 102, is just the shed. We'll still have to spend probably about another $30,000 on the slab and lighting and that kind of stuff. But it's something to be able to get our trucks out of the weather. We really don't have a lot of storage space for trucks. So if you go down to the warehouse at any given time, you'll see a bunch of our vehicles and equipment sitting outside. So we have spent the last year really trying to move some of that stuff inside, because if they have hydraulics or hoses or anything and they're exposed to the weather, it really ages the truck quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really trying to get everything undercover to make sure we can maintain those for a longer period of time.
Okay. What was public participation? Did anyone get up and address the council?
We had one gentleman get up and just address the council about noise from loud mufflers in his neighborhood. His HOA is not regulating that and wanted to know what we could do from a noise ordinance perspective. So the noise ordinance is something that we need to work on, so we kind of made a commitment to do that last night. And you know, decibel meters and all that kind of stuff, that's a whole nother can of worms.
Several years ago it was a big topic.
It is.
And doesn't it stand now? Is it 10 p.m.
10 o'clock
7 a.m. or 6 a.m.
And I think the thing with this is, so you have a neighbor who lives next door to somebody else, and they have a loud muffler that was installed. They have catalytic converters. I mean, it was installed professionally. It's not something where it's, you know, installed illegally. And when he cranks up, it's very loud. And he has a home that's really close to him. And the homeowner close to him said, you know, it wakes my family up. And they can't work together as neighbor to neighbor. And the HOA is not doing anything. But again, you know, you get down to those property rights. You know, does he have a right to have his...
Yes. Yeah, so. Is that enough to really readdress the noise ordinance for?
Well, there's some other things we need to address in the noise ordinance. So, I mean, that's something that we said to look at. And I don't know that it would help the situation at all. But, you know, we did make that commitment last night to pull that ordinance back out and kind of dust it off and make some revisions to it. And probably the chief could address some of that, too.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of mufflers. Just I get complaints all the time on Fairhope Avenue or down at the pier. You know, they apparently muscle cars are back with the loud mufflers
well,
and everything.
It's funny. So it's like
our trucks.
I think those backyard mechanics that have those vehicles, mm-hmm. they wait till about 10 o'clock at night when everybody's laying down. And then that's when they take them out and stretch them and see how they're running.
And it's probably different.
What else are they going to do?
It's probably different if you're on the street and you hear it. But when it's their garage is, you know, 200 feet from your house and they crank it up.
Right.
And they've got, you know, it again wakes his family up. And it's really probably more of a civil issue or neighbor to neighbor. But I'm not sure the noise ordinance will address it. But we did, you know, say that we need to dust that off and make some revisions.
Okay. And before we run out of time, mm-hmm. there's a few holiday activities you'd
there
probably
are.
Like to remind
yes.
folks of that you did in your three things to know this week.
That's right. We have the movie at the stadium on Friday from is it Friday night? I think
yes,
from 5 to 9. From 5
Friday
to 9
night.
At the stadium. So I think Santa will be there. So everybody who you know would like to come out, please come out for that. And then on Sunday, December 18th at 6:30, we have the movie in the street. That, of course, is rescheduled. The movie in the stadium is Polar Express, and the movie in the streets is The Grinch. So for both of them, grab your blanket, grab your chair. It's going to be cold, I think, for both nights. So come out and enjoy those movies. It's a great holiday event to do with the family.
Yeah, it's kind of those nights we needed to be a little warm.
I know.
But it's finally,
yeah,
we are going to start getting some cooler weather.
That's right.
So
there's one other thing I wanted to add, Lori, if you don't mind. Our gas department was also recognized by the Public Service Commission as the gas department of the year. And that was for the improvements they've made just in, you know, when I talked to them, they were like, you know, your department has very transparent, very honest. You know, they've been making great improvements in the gas department. We've got Magnolia River Inn, who's doing our leak survey and going to start that cast iron replacement. So those folks are just doing a great job with our utilities, and just want to tell them how proud we are of them and how much we appreciate the job they're
very
doing.
Very good. Is
yes.
that a statewide
It is a
recognition?
Statewide
wow.
recognition. And it's the first time they've given it out. So,
And you've come a long way, because
we have,
didn't
yes.
we have some state intervention with the department
we did.
To get things up to par?
We did. We did.
Years?
So, in the past 2 years, we've really come a long way. And again, I think the right staff is in place, and they're just doing a great job making the changes that we need to make sure we're providing a great service. And there's almost a little over 160 gas services in the state of Alabama, so that's really a nice award for us to receive.
Very good. Very good. Anything else?
I don't think so. Just we also striping downtown on Church Street. We've weather has not really cooperated. You have to have the temperature and everything the right to be able to stripe.
Mm-hmm,
we have not had that in between rain, so we have made the decision to wait to after the first of the year to do that, so we don't want to interfere with the holiday shopping.
I did have to cut around. I couldn't come all the way through church yet because they were making some repairs. So.
But we're ready to stripe. You can see the dotted lines, but we're going to wait till so we don't impede the holiday shoppers.
So that'll be after the first of the year.
After the first of the year.
And then we've got the New Year's Eve party
right,
downtown,
we do.
Which we can talk about next time.
We can.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Tuesday following Fairhope City Council meetings on the second and fourth Monday. If you missed part of it or you want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later. I will post it on our website, wabf1480.com. It is 8:47.